peel it back yet, but if you peel that back, it'll reveal the body. And then if you peel back the metal cover, that's the blood. So just so you know for later. They're the new hygienic way to do it, apparently. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. Why did Jesus come to the earth? So, this week is Communion Sunday, and it's always a great opportunity to reflect on our own lives. But I really want us to take a few moments before communion to think about and talk about why did Jesus come. It's why we celebrate Christmas. But why did Jesus come to the earth? You can click it to the next slide. And the next one. You missed my nose tweak there. So why do we celebrate Christmas? I mean, billions of people live on Earth and celebrate Christmas. There's, what, 7 billion people on Earth? I can't remember the last count that I read. But billions of people celebrate Christmas. And, you know, we can dig into the reasons why and the meaning why some of them celebrate. But the fact remains that over 47% of North America go to church on Christmas Eve. So what does that tell you? It doesn't matter about their theology. They're going to hear about Jesus' birth. They're going to have an opportunity to hear about Jesus' birth. But why celebrate this man Jesus' birth? I don't know. You guys tell me. See, 79% of North America think Christmas should be about more of Jesus. Not just the church, not just us in these pews, or these chairs, but the world of the continent of North America. That's not just the church. That's somebody in Walmart who's not in church on a Sunday. Think that Christmas should be more about Jesus. 63% think that they should visit the church on Christmas time as well. That's a pretty big number. 63% of the population try to get out to church on Christmas. Only 47% of them actually get there, but it's still a pretty good percentage. Almost half of the population of North America gets to church. That's a huge opportunity to minister to people. So while people do want religious Christmas songs in schools, they don't all buy in on this war of Christmas. And they don't all buy in on the happy holidays thing that we do, or Merry Christmas is offensive and all that type of stuff. They don't all buy into that. But 47% of the population actually get there. That's huge. That's a big number. So why do we start our journey to Bethlehem, our journey to Christmas, talking about communion on Communion Sunday? Seems like a strange place, doesn't it? Seems like an odd place to start. But here's my thought. If it wasn't for the cross and Jesus' death and resurrection, would we be celebrating Christmas 2,000 years later? I don't want hands up for this question, but who thinks I'm a pretty good guy? I'm a nice guy, right? I'm pretty good. I mean, hey, I don't go into churches and flip over tables and make a whip and start whipping people, do I? I'm a pretty nice guy. Do you think on December 14th, the year 4000, we're going to be celebrating Dave Misko's birthday? No. But we celebrate Jesus. Why? Because Dave Misko didn't die for you. Dave Misko didn't become a sacrifice from God for you. Jesus did. Jesus came to be that sacrifice for us. So what made Jesus different? That sacrifice. That love. Jesus had a purpose and a mission for us, didn't he? Or for when he came to earth, sorry. He had this purpose, this mission. So why did Jesus come to the earth? Some people say it's to save us. Any other reasons? Come on, you can blurt them out. Prophecy fulfilled. Anything else? To set the captives free, is that what you said? Great answers. But they don't outline the reason why Jesus came. Jesus actually told us why he came to earth. Did you know that? It's in Scripture. Now, these are all byproducts of why Jesus came. They're all, these all happened because he came, but he talks about the reason why he came. So these are the benefits of why Jesus came to earth. Now let's jump to John 18. Is it me or is it dry in here? It's not me preaching. I'm just meaning, is it dry in the air? I shouldn't ask that question. Don't ask questions you don't want answers to. And it says, therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answers, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Thank you. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who hears my voice hears truth. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no guilt in him. So right there, Jesus says why he came. I have come to this world to testify to the truth. Does that make truth important to us? Oh yeah. There's a statement that I heard before, and it says, what was on trial here? The truth was on trial. The phrase that says, I tell you the truth, Jesus used it 75 times. The phrase, truly, truly, I say unto you, was used by Jesus 25 times. And the Greek word amen means truly. Jesus was born to testify to the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the truth. There's all these movies, they always talk about how the truth will set you free. Who sets us free? The truth. Jesus. That's where we get our freedom from. That's where we get excitement and all these liberties and joy from, is the truth. If it was based on a lie, we wouldn't have any of that. Jesus is the truth. And the truth is, he wants us to live a free life. He wants us to live a full and fulfilled life. He wants us to live a bold life. We need to make bold statements because he is a bold God. Jesus was guiltless. He was blameless and he had no fault. Do you ever remember reading in Scripture about any faults of Jesus? He was a good God. Or a good man and our Savior. He comes from a good God. He was sent here by our God to be our Savior. And when we celebrate Christmas and Jesus' birth, Really? We're celebrating his death and resurrection. Because that's what brought us freedom. That was the testament to the truth. That was all the things like, you know, setting the captives free. That was done by the testament of the truth. Fulfilling the prophecy, because it was talked about in Scripture that he was going to come and he would be crucified and he would be raised. That was the truth because Jesus did it. That means every time we celebrate communion, we're also testifying to the truth. And that truth is what? It was that Jesus was beaten, he was bloodied for us, he was ridiculed, he was tortured, he was nailed to a cross. Why? So we could have eternal life. So we could be reconciled to God. So we didn't have to go sacrifice a cow that look for the perfect cow. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. We celebrate Christmas, yes, every year. But we're celebrating this, the fact that he died for us, that he loves us. You know, I heard people say in the past, well, Jesus, he was just a baby. That's what I hear about at Christmas. And then I hear about this Jesus at Easter, and he was crucified. Like, how weak is that? What type of man would let himself be taken and just stand there and take that beating? Did that make him weak then? No, it does not. He was a hero. He was the first and only superhero, if you will, who came for mankind. He came for us, for our sins. It's kind of a strange Christmas service, or first Christmas service leading into December. I like this picture. I see lots of shirts on kids with this picture. It's interesting because, you know, all these guys came to save mankind in their comics, but only one of them did. See, Jesus came as a baby to reconcile us to God. And he came and did the most noble and brave act ever done on this earth. Jesus at any moment could have stopped the crucifixion if he wanted to. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. Because he knew that his sacrifice was the atonement for the atonement of mankind. He knew that his sacrifice was to reconcile Dave Misko to God. Lyle and Elaine, Erla, Bob, to God. All of you to God. I just don't want to sit here. But you know what I mean? It was all for the purpose of reconciling us. And it's just not a blanket statement. It's you, each of you, named out and identified. Jesus died for our sins and was a willing and pure sacrifice capable of fulfilling the Father's will to reconcile us to him. I know God's will wasn't to have his son die. What father would want their son to die? But that's how much God loved us, is that he was willing to sacrifice his son for us, that we can be reconciled and have right relationship with him. You know, I've said before, I like you guys, but I wouldn't sacrifice my son. But Jesus was willing to be that sacrifice. He was willing to come and be a sacrifice and atone our sins. How much more does he love us? It's amazing. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat and drink the bread, or eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that he will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. So we're going to take a moment, and I want us to check our hearts before we partake in communion. And if we have some roots here that we need to tear out, we can ask the Father to tear those roots out. So I want us to just take a moment and let's just pray silently to Father and ask him to reveal those roots, or if there's anything there that you need to reconcile before we partake in communion today. Father, we ask that you would just continue to reveal to us if there's anything that we need to remove before, Father, we partake in communion. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, for our sins. Father, thank you for loving us that much, for caring for us individually, Father, and as a body. God, I pray that you would just draw us closer to you each day. But God, right now as we reflect on our own lives, God, I pray that you would forgive us. Father, if we've sinned, we pray that you forgive us. God, thank you for loving us even if we are sinful. Thank you for giving us grace and love and mercy. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. So, now is when you can open your first peel. So while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Let's partake of the body together. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Let us partake and celebrate of that covenant together. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus for us and to share truth with us. We thank you for this covenant of truth. God, we thank you that the truth has set us free and brought us in reconciliation with you. And Jesus, we pray that you would walk with us and guide us and direct us, Father. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge that you want us to have so that we can minister to others. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and forgiving of our sins. Amen. So John 6:47-51 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of your life, or of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh." John 6:47-51. I want you to remember the fact that we are believing in the truth, and believing the truth when we believe in Jesus. We need to remember that the truth set us free, and that truth is Jesus. Sharing that truth with our family, with our friends, is what we're called to do. Living that truth through our life in everything we do. That's what we're called to do. Live out the truth. And as we leave today, let's remember his testament of truth for our freedom, so that we can live forever with Jesus. Because he does reign forever, doesn't he? And in the coming weeks, as we journey towards Bethlehem, let's remember the real reason why we celebrate Christmas, and the fact that Jesus came to testify to the truth for our sins. He came to testify to the truth, and we will live forever with him. It's an amazing truth. He is a good God. We're going to sing that last song we did one more time, and then we're going to be dismissed. So we're going to pray now, and then we're going to sing that song. So you'd bow your heads with me. Father, we pray that you would go with us. God, encourage us. God, allow us to have a full understanding of your truth, of Jesus, and his goodness to us, and how much you love us. Father, we thank you for walking with us, for journeying with us, and God, for showing us grace. God, I pray that we would share that same grace with others as we're out in the community, Father, and brushing shoulders with everyone. God, I pray that you would guide us and direct us. And God, as we prepare, continue to prepare for Christmas, Father, as we continue to journey to Bethlehem, Father, I pray that we would be impacted by hearing about your Son, Jesus, and his goodness, and what he did on earth. So we thank you, Father, and we pray that you give us a good week. Amen. Stand with us as we sing this song one more time.